scripture reading to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in the chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and I want you to come down to verse 50. Verse 50 of Luke chapter 22. We're going to read from verse 50 down to verse 62. Verse 50 of Luke chapter 22. And we're at that position where they have come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas is betraying him with a kiss, indicating who Jesus is. Well, anyway, verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. And isn't it striking when you read the accounts of them coming to arrest the Lord Jesus, how the Lord demonstrates in a number of ways that he is really in control of the whole situation. Nothing is happening without his say-so. I mean, he demonstrates there his deity. He just touches his ear and heals him. That's a demonstration of his deity, the fact that he is God the Son. And it's very striking, and it brings it home to you that actually he is sovereign and he submits to the arrest. He voluntarily goes into the custody of the chief priest and so on. And that's very striking. Verse 52, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. Well, my theme this afternoon is the restoration of Peter, or if you like, the backslider restored. That's my theme. My text you will find in the last three words of verse 60 and verses 61 and 62. So the last three words of verse 60 The cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Of Peter's descent into backsliding, I will say only this. It is in the scripture record as a warning to all of the Lord's people. If Peter the apostle, if Peter the man who was privileged by the Lord Jesus Christ of being the one who would take the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, if he can fall, then this is a warning to all of the Lord's people. His descent into backsliding underlines the truth of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. No Christian can afford to be careless in their Christian life. We are to be on our guard, spiritually speaking, lest we fall. Of the shortness of time during which Peter was backslidden, and if you read the account carefully, you'll see it was a relatively short time. Of the shortness of the time, I will say only this. We must realize every day how far we may, during the course of a single day, fall away from our God. It is common and right and proper so often to speak of backsliding as a process. And ordinarily, it is a process over a significant period of time. But we must also remember we may fall, and we may fall far, we may fall shamefully during the course of one day. So of his descent and of the shortness of time, that is all I want to say. But of Peter's restoration, I want to speak more fully to you this afternoon. And I want to say this, taking Peter as a specimen backslider, I want to say this, the backslider is restored, first of all, as a result of the gracious work of the Lord. The backslider is restored as a result of the gracious work of the Lord. We read in verse 60 and 61, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. In these words, there is a powerful display of the gracious workings of God in bringing Peter back to the Lord. There is not the human instrumentality here. There is the gracious working of God. And what you will notice is the prior workings of God's grace are indicated. The prior workings of God's grace are indicated. Peter was a Christian. Peter was backslidden. But you will notice that he was still in the area where the Lord was. You will notice that. He's still about where the Lord was. He was still looking in the direction of the Lord. And so when the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, Peter was there. And Peter was looking toward the Lord. He was in the right place. And therefore, his eyes and the Lord's eyes met. And this is because he is a Christian. Yes, he's backslidden. Yes, he's gotten away. Yes, he's said things and so on that he shouldn't have said. But he is still a Christian. He has still an interest in Christ. He is still looking in that direction. And because he's looking in that direction, the Lord looks upon him and their eyes meet. Their eyes meet. And that would indicate to you the prior workings of God's grace. There are some who are classed as backsliders today, and they have been classed as backsliders for many, many years. And the truth of the matter, they are not such. They never were saved. They are not looking in the direction of the Lord. Peter was saved. He was backslidden, but he was looking in the right direction. Well, you see the prior workings of God's grace there. You also see the providence of the Lord. You see the providence of the Lord. This whole thing works together. The cock crew and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. There is a cumulative effect here. There is a timing here. At precisely the time required, with precisely the loudness required, in the location required, the cock crew and Peter heard. This is the providence of God. This is not the workings of chance or coincidence. This is the providence of God. And of course, when you compare what is written here with, for example, verse 34, the Lord Jesus saying to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You cannot give a prophecy of that nature if you believe in chance. If things can go either way, you cannot give a prophecy. So it's not chance here, it's a providential working of the Lord. It's not coincidental that at that time, at that location, with the loudness required, the cock crew. It all goes together. I mean, when you think about this, when you think about other illustrations of God's providence, you think about Israel's whole deliverance from Egypt. You think about the fact that in many ways it hinged upon a baby crying at precisely the right moment. This again was not chance, it was providence. It was not coincidence, it was providence. Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. The baby Moses on the river. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, it's not coincidence. It's not coincidence, these events. It's not coincidence that it was the daughter of Pharaoh. Just the right person that was required. It's not coincidence that she saw this little ark. It's not coincidence that when she opened it and she saw the child and she knew it was a Hebrew child who by rights should be put to death. It's no coincidence that at that precise moment the baby wept. And the weeping of the baby touched her heart, moved her heart. She had compassion on him, and Moses was reared in the household of Pharaoh, as it had to be. Israel's whole deliverance hinging upon a baby crying at precisely the right moment. These things are the providence of God. Providence of God. And you have the providence of God in our passage in Luke chapter 22. But you also have the power of the Lord. You have the power of the Lord. In verse 61, we are told the Lord turned. The Lord turned graciously and looked upon Peter. Now, this is a steady gaze. This is not just a glance. This is the Lord himself. This is the Almighty God, the powerful God of heaven, and he steadily gazes and looks upon Peter. And it shook Peter up. It disturbed him. It distressed him. It brought him back to God. Brought him back. It had the power to awaken Peter. You see, the Lord was on his radar once again. He was alerted to the fact that he still had God to deal with. The Lord Jesus wasn't gone and out of his life, as it were. Here is the Lord, this cock crowing, the Lord turning, looking upon Peter, gazing upon him, looking into his very soul. It woke him up. It woke him up. It had the power to trouble Peter. It made him really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. For of him to have done what he did, for him to have come from that little gathering around the fire, with those sins upon his conscience, those denials, to hear that animal crowing, and to then to be confronted by the steady gaze of God's dear Son. He wasn't comfortable. He wasn't comfortable at all. It's interesting in Exodus 14, verses 24 and 25. Exodus 14, the Egyptians are pursuing after Israel. And in verse 24 it says, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." The look of the Lord had the power to trouble the mighty Egyptian army, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." So troubled, so uncomfortable, so distressed they were. They wanted to pack it in. They wanted to run for their lives. I tell you, the Lord shook Peter up. The Lord shook him up. That look disturbed him. It was of such a type that he simply couldn't cope with it. Couldn't cope with the Lord looking upon him. You know, when backsliders are restored, they're often in quite a state. They're often in quite a state. When God deals with them, when God shows them the failures of their Christian life, when God shows them the waste of their Christian life, when God shows them how they have denied him, how they have run away from him, when he brings all of that to bear upon the heart and upon the mind of a backslider, it's no surprise they're often in quite a state. And that's exactly Peter. It's exactly Peter. When the Lord looks upon him, he's in a real state. He's in a real state. He's awakened. He's troubled. He's troubled. The backslider is restored as a result of the gracious work of the Lord. You will see as you go further in verse 61, that the backslider is restored through the remembrance of the word of God. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now Peter had forgotten what the Lord had said to him. He had forgotten what the Lord had said to him. The Lord brings his word back into Peter's mind. And that's the position of the backslider right there. The backslider has forgotten the word of God. The backslider has forgotten the word of God. The neglect of the scriptures and the consequenting forgetting of the scriptures are always part and parcel of backsliding. And for a backslider to be restored, it is necessary that the word of God be remembered. It is necessary for the Lord to bring the word back into the mind and to apply the word. This is a feature of backsliding. This is a feature of the restoration of the backslider. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verses 15 and 18. And these verses are speaking of Israel. Speaking of God's people. They're described under the title Jeshurun. Verse 15 reads, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, and thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." And that's backsliding. That's Jeshurun in a backslidden condition, giving up on God, forsaking God, lightly esteeming the rock of his salvation. Notice verse 18. "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful." He's out of the mind. He's forgotten and has forgotten God that formed thee. Now, do you see how the two things go together? The forgetting of God and the forsaking of God. The Lord out of the mind, the Lord lightly esteemed. This is classic backsliding. And the backslider, therefore, must be brought to remember the word of the Lord. The Lord must be brought back into the mind. And this is what happens to Peter. Peter is brought to remember. God's word is impressed upon him once more in a very powerful fashion. Again, I point you to this sequence of events, all working together to bring the word of God back into his mind. The cock crowing, the Lord turning and looking, and then Peter remembers the word of the Lord. Peter remembers the word of the Lord. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5. This is a word to a church. A word to a congregation, largely of the Lord's people. And a charge is brought against them. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." There's been a decline in the church. There's been declension from the Lord. And what is the medicine? "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." Remember and repent. Look at Revelation chapter 3, the next chapter. Verse 1. Again, a word to a church. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead." This is a very, very seriously backslidden church. A name for life. A name for spiritual life. A name for all that is good, but it's only a name. In reality, thou art dead. Verse 3. What is the remedy? "Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Remember what you heard. Remember the Word of God. Remember biblical truth. Remember what you used to believe. Remember and repent. You see the pattern? You see the pattern? The backslider must be brought to remember the Word of the Lord. And let me say this to you. As is clear from the case of Peter, the Lord only can bring His Word with power to the backslider's remembrance. Now, certainly the Lord may use means, but it's important to understand that the Lord only can bring His Word with power to the backslider's remembrance. No one but the Lord could have looked upon Peter and had such an effect. No one but the Lord. No preacher could have done it. No preacher could have looked in this fashion upon Peter and so shook him up, so disturbed him, so brought with power the Word of God back into his mind and placed it upon his heart. Preacher may be an instrument, another Christian may be an instrument, but ultimately it is the Lord that must work. It is the Lord that must work. You remember Nathan, the prophet, coming to David. Now Nathan is God's instrument. David is backslidden. David needs to be restored. He has sinned in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, and he needs to be brought back to God. He needs to repent of his sin. And Nathan goes and Nathan speaks to him, and David is brought back. David is restored. That's the story. But it's important to note, 2 Samuel 12, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. It is important to note that the Lord was behind Nathan. It is important to note that the Lord was with Nathan as he went. It is important to note that it was the Lord who used Nathan, the Lord who brought Nathan's words home with power to David. And that's how it must be if backsliders are to be restored. That's how it must be. And that is why, you know, the restoration of backsliders is often a sign of revival. Is often a sign of revival. I remember some years ago, a reasonably successful evangelistic campaign over a few weeks. A number of people converted, nothing major, but reasonably successful. I remember talking to an aged saint about this. And as this campaign was progressing, it was coming to get a little bit of notoriety, and people were wondering, you know, is revival coming here? And the revival didn't come. There were a number saved, but revival didn't come. But this was the talk at the time as this campaign was going along. And I remember this man saying to me, look, it is wonderful when people are saved. It is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful example and display of the mercy and power of God and so on. But it's only when you hear about backsliders being restored that really you'll know that something strange is underfoot. It's when you hear of men and women who for years have been ambling and idling along in their Christianity. It's when you hear of them being broken and with tears seeking God again. It's when you hear people praying in prayer meetings that haven't been seen in a prayer meeting for years. That's when you'll know the revival's at the door. And I think he's quite right. I think he's quite right. And this is only God that can do this. It's only God that can do it. It's only God. The Lord only can bring his word with power to the backslider's remembrance. Well, thirdly and finally, let us notice here, the backslider is restored, thirdly, by a repentance of that which is contrary to the ways of the Lord. A repentance of that which is contrary to the ways of the Lord. Notice what happens here. Peter remembers this word of the Lord, how the Lord had said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." What does he do? Verse 62, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Now, this is a description of this man's repentance. This is a description of this man's repentance. He had been walking in the ways of the ungodly. He had been where he should not have been. He had engaged, really, in conversations that he should not have engaged in. And now he repents of that. He simply goes away. He simply leaves. He's somewhere he shouldn't be, and he went out. He gets away. The backslider, you see, walks in ways which are not pleasing to the Lord. He walks in ways which are not pleasing to the Lord. The backslider in heart, according to Proverbs 14, verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. He'll fill with his own ways. He'll walk in ways that are not right. The Lord doesn't enter into the picture. He makes his own decisions. He calls his own shots. The Lord doesn't come into it. He does what is right in his own eyes, and that is contrary to the Lord. Well, that was Peter. He's following afar off. He's calling his own shots. He's doing what is right in his own eyes. And it is contrary in these verses to the Lord. So he must repent of his sinful ways. This is what the backslider must do. The backslider must remove himself from the place of his sin. It's nothing complicated or difficult. He must remove himself from the place of his sin. Peter was in the wrong company, so he left. Peter was in a place where he sinned, where it was easy for him to sin, where he continued to sin, so he left. He removes himself from the place of his sin. And that's what the backslider must do. But not only did Peter remove himself from the place of his sin, he removed himself to God. He went out to get before God. He removed himself to God. He got alone. He got away. He got alone with God. And so must all backsliders. So must all. They must get alone with God. The backslider must repent of his sin. And the tears here, and the language that's used concerning the tears, he wept bitterly. The tears testify to the reality of Peter's repentance. These are not bogus tears. I've come across women in church work, and they could turn on the tears the way you turn on a water tap, and it has about as much effect on me. Well, it does have no effect on me, as you might imagine. It has no effect on me whatsoever. But this is not like that. The tears testify to the reality of Peter's repentance. And you know what? This is not unusual. It's not unusual for backsliders to be emotionally moved and to return with tears to the Lord. The tears simply indicate that he was sorry for his sin. The tears simply indicate that he regretted what had been done. He regretted the words that he had said. He regretted the course that he had taken. He sorrowed over it, and he regretted it. There was remorse there. And that is an essential element of repentance. You will never repent of that for which actually you're quite comfortable with. You'll only repent of that for which you feel a certain level of sorrow for. So sorry for his sin, Peter repents of his sin, and in repenting, he was restored. And that's always the way with God. When we repent, he forgives. And there's no question here that Peter went out, Peter repented, and God forgave. God forgave. And we're told nothing about it in these verses, because really, in many ways, this is a matter between him and the Lord. Peter repented and God forgave. That's the way it is with the backslider who is restored. Now, on one occasion, the Lord spoke to a backslidden church and he said this: as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. The Lord will make the life of the backslider difficult. He will rebuke and he will chasten. He will order our circumstances as such that we will want to repent. But all the time, with that rebuking and with that chastening, there remains the Lord's offer of fellowship. He is always at the door. Restoration is there for us if we want it. It's simply a question of hearing his voice, remembering his word, repenting, returning to him. And he says, look, I will come. I will sup with you, and you will sup with me. Fellowship will be restored. Christ has promised it. Backsliders who have repented and have been restored can testify to it. And the future history of Peter in the New Testament shows itself in this way. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.